They came on foot and by carriage, and from the city and around the country. On September 12, 1867, thousands of people lined up outside the 14th Street Armory, a hulking gray building in downtown New York, to see what the future held for them. The women wore hoop skirts and their finest bonnets. The men came in their dark suits and perfectly knotted ties. The American Institute Fair was more than an event. It was a monument to the times, the place to come and see the latest crazy ideas that the inventors of the day had dreamed up, and to get a glimpse of the fantastic future. This year, one particular innovation, which a reporter for the New York Times had seen during a sneak preview and raved about in an article, was turning the 37th year of the fair into a spectacle before it even opened. The American Institute Fair, started in 1829 as a way to encourage innovation in the country, showcased a collection of novelties, some practical, some bizarre. For a number of years, the fair had no permanent home, until it grew so big that organizers decided it deserved its own space. A group of financiers, including August Belmont and William Cullen Bryant, two of New York's richest men, imagined a warehouse-sized building more grand than London's glittering Crystal Palace. And on 42nd Street and 6th Avenue, in the same place where George Washington's troops had once been chased across a field by redcoats, that's what they built. Their own Crystal Palace was shaped like a Greek cross and topped by an enormous 123-foot-high dome, the tallest in America. With 1,800 tons of iron and 15,000 panes of clear enameled glass, there was nothing else like it. When it opened on July 14, 1853, President Franklin Pierce was there to welcome in a new era when dazzling advances in technology and science would define the country's direction. One year later, at the fair, a clever mechanic named Elisha Graves Otis showed how climbing hundreds of stairs no longer had to be an obstacle for cities to grow upward. His elevator, a new invention that was pulled up by ropes, was not only safe, but heralded the age of buildings much taller than 8, 10, or 12 stories. With a crowd standing around his elevator, Otis rode it to its highest level, and for the riveted audience below, reached out and cut the elevator's only rope. Instead of plummeting down, he fell only a few inches and then stopped, showing everybody how the safety catch he had installed worked. A few years after that, in 1856, another promising inventor and entrepreneur brought a typewriter he'd been tinkering with to the fair. A short and skinny 30-year-old man with slicked-back black hair and a razor-thin mustache, Alfred Beach was a devoted churchgoer and opera lover who rose early and went to bed early. When he was awake, he was in perpetual motion, exercising regularly and working with one thing or another. He despised vacations. Any spare time that he had, he spent toying with wires, cables, or any contraption he could get his hands on, always with the hope of understanding how it worked and how it could be improved. In 1848, after Beach had spent almost an entire year exploring the inner workings of the typewriter, he discovered that by having the keys strike both sides of the paper rather than one side, embossed or raised letters would be created that could be felt. He knew that if the letters could be felt with the fingertips, then the blind would be able to read. The device worked, and it won him praise from fellow inventors and affirmed in his own mind a desire to do something even greater. It took him years to refine his idea enough to where he was comfortable showing it to the world. And when he finally brought it to the American Institute Fair in 1856, it was a hit. It was recognized as the most advanced typewriting machine yet, and won first prize and a gold medal. Those were the sorts of inventions that drew people, sometimes more than 5,000 a day, to the fair every year. And Crystal Palace was as much of an attraction as the inventions inside. The palace was described as beautiful beyond description. It was also thought to be indestructible, thanks to its cast-iron beams. But on October 5, 1858, with 2,000 people roaming the exhibitions, one of the storage rooms caught on fire. In minutes, the flames had shot through the wood flooring and began melting the walls and roof. As the crowd raced outside to safety, Crystal Palace was swallowed up by sparks, smoke, and flames until it collapsed into a heap. Days later, just 5 years after its celebrated opening, it was nothing but a pile of rubble. Scavengers came to sift through the remains in hopes of finding a souvenir from the building that was supposed to signal America's new dawn of invention.